The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Tmura Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Chav Beis and Chav Gimel discusses the halacha of someone who's mafresh neit ziburi mois lachrayis, somebody who sets aside two piles of money, and he says that the reason I'm setting it aside is even though it's really enough, there's enough money in each one of the piles to buy a carbon, in case one of them gets lost, I want the other one to be able to replace it. So the Gemara is mavur that both piles of money have kedusha, and if one of the piles is actually used to buy the carbon, and the other pile is left over, the halacha is that, although the halacha does not have a din of chatois amesis, and it doesn't have to go to Yam HaMelach, nevertheless, it has kedusha, and it's going to be used, it's going to be neifel in a dava, and it's going to be used to buy oila. So this gemara is used in conjunction with to prove a certain concept in a case of insurance, so I'd like to take the opportunity for a few shiurim to discuss the halachas of insurance and how the halacha views insurance payouts and how the halacha deals with them. There's a big question. What's the halacha if one person, Reuven, pays insurance on Shimon's house? How that happens is various scenarios discussed by the Poskim. One case is where Shimon sold his house to Reuven, and Reuven makes the insurance payments. Reuven sells his house to Shimon. Reuven makes the insurance payments. He continues to make the insurance payments because the house has not been legally transferred over to Shimon yet. And the house, in actuality, belongs to Shimon because he has already bought it according to the Din HaTorah, without getting into the question, which we discussed at other times, how the Din HaMalchusa affects the Din HaTorah in this kind of situation. But assuming that the house actually belongs to the buyer, Shimon, and Reuven is the one who continues to make the insurance payments, who would that, and Chas Shalom, something happens to the house, who would actually receive the insurance payout? Who would it belong to? On the one hand, we could say that Reuven is actually making the payments and the policy is in his name. On the other hand, we could say that since Shimon, the house belongs to Shimon and the insurance policy can only be taken out because the house is in existence and the house belongs to Shimon, so Reuven wouldn't have the right to get insurance payments from a house that are being paid out because of a house that belongs to Shimon. So there are a number of sources that discuss this halacha. The earliest source that we find is the Ramban. The Ramban discusses a case where Reuven steals a property, sells it to Shimon, takes achrayis. Shimon then goes and gives that property to Levi. And the person from whom Reuven stole the property comes and takes the property away from Levi, who received it for free. So Ramban says that Levi doesn't have any claim on the achrayis money, on the insurance money, that Reuven will now have to pay Shimon. Reuven is going to have to pay Shimon achrayis, because Shimon bought the property from him on the condition that it belonged to Reuven, and if the property didn't belong to Reuven, Reuven would have to pay him money, the value of the property. Not because it's a mekach tos necessarily, but because it's a separate chiyuv of achrayis. And Shimon receives that money from Reuven, and Levi, who received the property b'matana from Shimon, would not be entitled to any of that money. So Ramban says that he recommends that when a person gives a property b'matana, he should make sure to transfer all the zuchusim that he has because of the property, all of the achrayis money that he has. He should be sure to transfer that also in order to avoid this kind of situation. That's one makor for this inyan. The Achronim bring a raya from a Gemara. There's a famous Gemara in Perek HaMafkid where Reuven rents a cow from Shimon, or let's say Vakeret. Shimon rents a cow from Reuven, and then he lends it to Levi. He's mashal it to Levi. And then the cow dies. The halacha is that a shoyel is chayiv, a shoyel is obligated to pay if the cow dies while it's in his possession, but a soicher, a renter, is not obligated to pay for oinsim, which include the death of the cow, assuming that the cow didn't die because of a pshia, because of negligence. So the question is, what happens to the payment that the shoyel makes to the soicher? Does that belong to the soicher, or would that go back to the actual owner of the cow, the Bailam Rishonim? So it's machlokes in the Mishnah between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's argument is, how can Shimon do business with a cow that belongs to Reuven? The reason why Levi's making this payout is because Reuven's cow died. How could Shimon benefit from a payout which is only being made because of Parasai Shal Reuven? And we pass in like Rabbi Yossi. So the Ursa Meach and the Maria HaLevi and other Achroinim all discuss that perhaps this should be a raya to our question by insurance. Just like over there, Rabbi Yossi is making the argument that Ketzar Alois is Cher Parasai Shal Haveri. How is it possible that Shimon, the renter, should be able to benefit because of a payment that's being made because of Reuven's cow? So too, the argument can be made that when the insurance company makes the payout and is being paid out because of a tragedy that occurred to a house that belongs to Reuven, how could Shimon benefit from that just because he was the one who took out the insurance policy? That's the raya that the Achroinim bring. Now, the Achroinim, most Achroinim use the following explanation let's not say most. There are a number of reasons put forth by the Achroinim why this should not be a raya. One reason suggested is that in the Gemara's case, the guy who rented the cow didn't really have the right to lend out the cow. Now there's a lot of confusion about this chiluk that's being made, because the Gemara seems to say that we're talking about a situation where the guy who rented it did get explicit permission from the renter, from the person who rented it to him, that he could lend out the cow. So how can you tell me they didn't have permission? But the answer might be that he didn't have permission automatically. He had to actually ask permission. So since he had to receive that permission from the owner of the cow, therefore the owner of the cow has some kind of connection to receiving, to the fact that the cow was lent out, and that's why he gets paid, because of what happened to the cow. But not because of the fact that automatically, since it's because of something that happened to this cow, that's why he gets paid. That's one chiluk that is suggested by the Achroinim. The Ur Sameach rejects this chiluk. But the Marsham says that this chiluk is clear in the Sma. The Sma actually says this explicitly. So therefore, I'm sorry, it's not the Marsham, it's the Minchas Yitzchok, who says that he's surprised that the Ur Sameach rejects that chiluk, because that chiluk is actually clear in the Sma. Another explanation, another chiluk that the Ur Sameach makes is as follows. Over there, the renter is not paying, it's true, he's paying out money to have this advantage in Achrayus over the Shoyal. So the reason why the renter is actually getting an advantage Achrayus-wise is because he's paying money to the owner. But the reason why he's paying money, the main reason he's paying money, is not to pater himself, not to absolve himself from a chiyuv of oinsim. The main reason he's paying money is to get the right to use the cow. And that right he passes on to the shoyel. So in that case, there's a svara to say that the soicher doesn't necessarily have a right to the payout that's being made by the shoyel. However, in our case, where the guy who's buying the insurance policy is paying money specifically to have this insurance policy, it's possible to say that in that case, there's more of a svara why the person paying money for the insurance policy should be entitled to the money of the insurance policy. And so he brings down that the Shalom Meshev uses this svara And he says that there was a story, the Shalom Meshav, they had a story that Chachmei Brody had a story, Chachmei Brod had a story in such a case, and they paskined that 2/3 should belong to the owner of the house, and 1/3 should belong to the Soicher, and he says that it was a pshara that they made. The Minchas Yitzchak is matmiya on this pshara, because if, as the Or Sameach is quoting, and the Shalom Meshav seems to be assuming that the Ikar HaDin would be that the insurance payment should belong to the owner of the house, to the guy who bought, I'm sorry, to the person who bought the insurance policy. So why is it that the pshara is being slanted in favor of the house owner? So he's very perplexed by the fact that the pshara worked out in that way. So far we have two chalukim from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. One chaluk is that in the case in Bava Metzia, the renter had to get explicit permission from the owner in order to make this arrangement of lending it out. So therefore the owner has some sort of rights to the money that are being paid out because it was lent out. The other chaluk that we see is that In that case, the money that the renter is paying is not specifically for the achrayis advantage, but it's being paid for a shtamshus of the cow, masha'in kain, as opposed to the case where a person buys an insurance policy where the money is being paid out specifically in order to obtain the insurance policy. In that case, one can understand a little bit better that the money of the insurance payment should belong specifically to the person who bought the policy. A third chilek, I'm a little bit surprised that these achrayim didn't mention it, and the way I understand it, this is the kavanah of the Maria Alevi, is as follows. In the case of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the main driving force behind the payment that's being made by the shoyl, the borrower, is not a contractual payment, necessarily. It's not some kind of outside agreement that he made with the soicher. The reason why the shoyl is obligated to pay is because the Torah says that if you borrow somebody's item, you have to pay. So the main reason why he has to pay is because since he has the item in his possession, and he's using that item, he has a kinyan, he has a right, or he doesn't have it, whatever it is, but the point is, since the item is in his possession, in order for him to use it, therefore, the Torah obligates him to pay money if something happens to that item. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Torah was moved, since Kal Na Shalai, Ukmer Achmana Bershusei. But the main idea over here is that it's not some kind of outside obligation that the shoyl was mischayev to pay to the soicher, but the driving force behind this obligation is the chiyav ha-Torah. The Torah obligates the shoyl to pay because he has the other person's item in his rishos. So the argument can be made over there, that over there Rabbi Yossi's svara is very logical. Rabbi Yossi says that since the driving force of the chiyav, the thing that actually causes the chiyuv to kick in is the fact that I have this par in my possession. And who does this par belong to? This par ultimately belongs to the Baal HaRishayim. So since it's the Baal HaRishayim's par that's creating the chiyuv, therefore it makes sense to say that when the chiyuv actually comes, that the shoyl should have to pay to the Baal HaRishayim because the chiyuv is being created by their par. And that's where Rabbi Yossi says, Ketzer Alois Hescher Parasa Shal Haveiro. As opposed to the case of the insurance money, this is an arbitrary contract that a person has with an insurance company. They are mischayiv. They obligate themselves. If something happens to the house, they're mischayiv al tanai. If something will happen to the house, I will be mischayiv to pay you $100,000. That chiyuv is not caused by the house in any way. True, perhaps there's an arbitrary clause in the contract that says that this house actually has to be owned by somebody. Or maybe even says it has to be owned by you. And there's sort of being tricked because the house is under your name. But the idea is that the house is not actually causing the chiyuv to take place. It's not in any way triggering the chiyuv. What creates the chiyuv is the agreement that you have between the policyholder and the insurance company. So over there, it's more mistaber that the fact that the house actually belongs to somebody else, that shouldn't affect the agreement that the person has with the insurance company. And this seems to be the svara of the Maria Alevi. The way I understand what he's saying, it seems to me that Maria Halevi is saying this svara. Okay, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow, well, I'd like to continue and discuss some other very relevant halachas of insurance.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-553-7262. 1-888-485 VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.